Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Down the blind, Andrew Johns. Inside for Elba. Elba will score! Elba will score! Newcastle has won! Liverpool's got the score! Fiddler, his farewell! His farewell! He hits it, he's got it! He's got the field goal! He's got the premiership! He has gone from, as I said, a captain to a legend, and probably rugby league immortality.
That's not a try, that's a miracle!
G'day guys, welcome back to the Rugby League Guru Podcast. Going to go through our draft game this weekend. It is finals in my competition now. We start our finals in round 22. We go 23, 24, 25. Bit controversial. A lot of comps like to go round 24 grand final. We do go the extra week. We took a vote on it this year. All was even, Steven, so we are going the extra week, which I personally prefer. I think it's more fun. But can understand all the arguments to go round 24. But round 22, we finished the season in third place, the regular season in third place in our competition. We obviously lost Pappy during the season, so it all hasn't been ideal. I think we're at pretty long odds to win the draft comp, realistically, just with injuries and all that sort of shit and a few other things going on. But we are still in with a hope, finishing in top four. Gives me a much better chance. If I was in the bottom four of the top eight, having to win four games on the trot to win it, honestly don't think I could have done it. Can potentially win three. If I win this week and I get a week off and I can fuck around on the waiver wire for an extra week, then potentially we can maybe put something together. But it is going to be a tall order. There is no doubt about that. But this week is all important. We need to get a W this week because, as I said, I don't think we can play for 4 weeks. I don't think we've got the team to be able to do that. I really struggle to believe I've got the team to win for 3 weeks in a row. But I want to give it a good shake. So my team as it stands right now, I've got Jeremy Marshall-King at hooker. He's been sensational for me all season. 61.5 point average. As you guys know, I didn't actually draft a hooker on draft day. Waited till the very end. I think I grabbed Biondi Odo, actually. Just take a little punt. Managed to get Marshall-King before the season started, I believe, and he's been fantastic. To get a 61-point hooker who I didn't draft has been sensational when you consider where other guys were drafted, how early guys went. To get Jeremy Marshall-King and for him to be scoring the way he scored this year, he has just been a huge shining light for me this season. I was thinking the other day about what the fuck I'd be doing if I didn't manage to stumble on Jeremy Marshall-King. So he probably has been one of my better plays this year. When you think about that I didn't draft a hooker and I just waited to get him off the waiver wire, and then you consider other hookers that you could have gone from. I mean, Harry Grant, he went round one, so he went 17 picks before I got a hooker. He's averaged 76, so he's averaged 15 more points than Jeremy Marshall-King, which is sensational. It's unreal. But, you know, a guy like Reid Marnie, he's averaging 57 points this year, you know, for example. So did really well to come out of that with probably a top five Supercoach hooker this year, realistically. Damien Cook, he's on 75 points as well. So there's clearly guys ahead of him, but I think I probably got the best value guy at hooker that I could have possibly got this season. Front row has been an issue for me all year. I've managed to find two good front rowers, another position that I didn't draft. Maxi King, he's been great, 50-point average, and Tom Burgess, but he's obviously out this week. He probably will be in my team still. I'll probably take him, and I'll just take an AE on my bench, which I'll talk about soon. At the moment, I've got two options to play at front row if I don't want to take an AE. I've got Emre Gulen, I've got Matt Croker from the Newcastle Knights. Not really happy with either of them, kind of leading towards an AE, which we'll talk about soon. My back rowers, they've been great. Olakuatu and Nakora, I've absolutely loved them. them this year. Olakau'atu in particular, 66-point average. Brittany Cora has been solid, 54. Probably hasn't been as good as what I thought he would, to be honest with you. But he has been solid for me all year, Brittany, and came through with a big 76 last week when I needed it. Victor Radley's my other 2RF this week. 46-point average. Hasn't been great. I've only had him for a couple of weeks. Realistically, with Victor, it's only going to matter to me what he does in the next four games. If he can come up with a couple of attacking stats, I really don't give a fuck what he did previously. It's all about finals time and hopefully Radley standing up when the Roosters need him to. My Haas, very happy with how it's turned out. Tommy Dearden, halfback, 5'8", dual position guy, 56-point average. Big 72 last week. He's playing tremendous footy. And then probably the pick of the year for me, Scott Drinkwater. I think I got him in round 10 of draft. He's been sensational. He's managed to cover 5'8 for me, but he's also covered fullback, obviously, with Ryan Pappenhausen gone now. So Scott Drinkwater, I'm so glad that I drafted him. I'm so glad that I was patient with him. I think a lot of people expected me to drop him earlier in the season. I played the long game, and it really has paid dividends. I think that's one of the things I'm probably better at in draft than most, playing the long game. And Drinky's been sensational. 73-point average. He's been an absolute fucking star for me. And last week, his big 100 managed to win me my game in round 21, my last game of the season. It managed to lock me into the top four. So Drinky's been fantastic. Isaac Tungo, Katoni Staggs, Ewan Aiken, and Matty Tomoko are my CTWs. Aiken's been named in the back row again. Thank God the Warriors really shit me last week, putting him out in the center. Still scored 44, but I need him in the back row. That should see him get 55 to 60. Katoni Staggs, he's got a good matchup this week, but I need Katoni to stand up. I don't know what the fuck's been happening recently with him. He's been very quiet against the Newcastle Knights. Hopefully he can brain it up there at Suncorp. And then Isaac Tungo played last night, obviously, did pretty well. I think he got about 48. So without any attacking stats, he was very close to scoring once again. I'd love someone to go back through all of his games this year and do a start. I've been keeping track of how many tries he's been disallowed. It's been 12, but the amount of times that he's gone incredibly close, he's been such a good player for me this year, Isaac Tungo. I spoke about him a lot during the preseason, and it really has paid dividends. He's been a 61-point CTW, got him in round 7, so huge value there. I remember some people saying I went way too early there. Fuck, if anything, I went way too late. So very happy with Isaac Tungo. He's carried me through a lot of this season. And then my fullback is Kola from the Manly Seagulls. A little bit hit and miss, obviously very reliant on attacking stats there. Kola scored a try last week and only got 36, so very disappointing. But this week, up against the Gold Coast Titans, especially with Brian Kelly marking him, I definitely think he's a guy that he can get the better of. So that's my starting 13. Then it becomes interesting. Tom Burgess, he's currently on my bench. He will move into my front row, I think, and I'll take an AE. Either I could look at Matt Croker, but I think I'm going to drop in really. So it comes down to two guys, and this is how fucking tough it is in a 14-man comp. The best two guys I could get off the waiver, one of them was Jack Murchie from the Warriors. The other one was Jackson Tapine, who I've had for a couple of weeks. You all know I'm a big fan of him. And, of course, the Warriors, they play the Canterbury Bulldogs this afternoon at 6 p.m. So it's going to be interesting to see what I do there. There's no point in me keeping both of them. I really still want to go one of them. So I've got to make a decision. Do I go with Murchie or do I go to Pine? Now, the good thing is because they are early, I can pick which one I want. If they go shit, I can just chuck a front rower in there, which is a little bit of a punt. There's no doubt about it. But both these guys, they have got a bit of attacking upside to them. Tapine's been good. He's played two games, gone 60 and 41. In both those games, he didn't really have huge attacking stats that I know he's capable of and that he could pull out of his ass against this New Zealand Warriors side. Murchie, on the other hand, he's interesting. Now, I've never been a huge fan of Murchie as a footballer, to be perfectly honest with you, but he just always seems to score right in Supercoach, especially when he is playing out there on the edge. He played 80 minutes last week, 47 in base, which was really solid. He also came up with, I think, two line breaks. So this Canterbury side, they are improving, but running in a really good spot there, Jack Murchie, outside of Sean Johnson. I don't mind him as well. So I've got to make a decision which one of those two that I play. I'm not sure which way I'm going to go. It might come down to a coin toss, to be perfectly honest with you, but hopefully I choose the one that has a bit of attacking upside. And it's part of my strategy in finals, and it should be a part of all your strategy if you're playing draft. I assume it's pretty common knowledge for all of you. You obviously have a player on your bench that can hopefully go high scoring or they have a good matchup, and then you can waste a position in your starting team. So I'd be doing doing it with my front row. If one of these two doesn't go good that I have, I'll have to make a decision. Do I play Matt Croker or do I go for Emre Gula? There's a chance that I could get Corey Horsburgh off the waiver wire, but I probably doubt I will. I stupidly mentioned it on Beers and Breakevens this week, so I think I gave a bit of a heads up to other guys in my comp, but I think he would have been taken before then anyway, realistically. So I think I'll be making a decision between those four guys. Hopefully, one of Murchie or Tapine do well later today. So we'll go through my matchup for this week. The guy I'm playing, Eamon, has got a very, very good team. He sort of started the season slow. I remember thinking his team was a busted asshole. Then all of a sudden, he just found form, and I think he's lost three or four games in his last 10 or 12 or something. I'm sure Eamon could tell me. I have no doubt whatsoever he could tell me. So he's come home really strong. We obviously had the first game last night, the Penny Panthers Melbourne Storm. He had Justin Olam. He had fucking two line breaks and a try assist. He got 66. So I'll take that. You know, we know what Justin Olam's capable of to get 20, to get 30 odd points from attacking plays and to only score 66. I will happily wear that. Isaac Tungo, my main man, 47 points. So I've given Eamon a 20 point head start, but considering all the attacking stats, if there's only, there's only 19 points between us, in fact, 47 to 66. So I'll happily wear that off the back of game one. That Bulldogs versus the Warriors game is going to be really interesting for me. I've got Ewan Aiken, I've got Max King, Jeremy Marshall King, and I'll have one of my AE guys as well. Jeremy Marshall King, it would be great if he could have a big game here. I think the Warriors' middles have been pretty soft so far this year, and I think Marshall King's been in close to career best form. So hopefully he can have a game there. Eamon's got Marcelo Montoya, who's playing in the centres. I haven't really been watching too much of Montoya over the last few weeks. Fucking shock me. But I'm expecting that hopefully he will stay reasonably quiet. Hopefully the Doggies can do a bit of a number on them there. He's been going all right out in the centres. What did he, last few weeks, going okay. 34, 52, 40, 58. So he's been going okay. He's capable of getting 30 to 40s without a try. So hopefully he can stay quiet, Marcelo Montoya. I think he's had a pretty good season apart from a couple of low points of the year. After that game, we have got the Parramatta Eels and the South Sydney Rabbitohs, one of the matchups of the round. And this one's probably going to decide our game realistically. I've got no players in this one, but Eamon's got Latrell Mitchell, Colin Mutungi, Dill Brown, and Ryan Madison. Now, I'm really hoping that Ryan Madison gets ruled out with concussion. He obviously went off the field last week, and it's a bit of an ongoing thing with Ryan Madison. So, fingers crossed, with all due respect to Ryan Madison, it would just be great for my team if that was to occur. But you would have to assume that if he's made the final cut here, he will probably feature in that game realistically. The positive is that Latrell Mitchell and Dylan Brown, who are probably two of his best players, they are playing each other, so he can only VC one of them. I safely assume it will be Latrell. So hopefully Parramatta can show up. We know that they can defend on their day, so hopefully they can show up in this game and really test Latrell. I mean, there was the first 25 minutes the other day where he was very quiet. So hopefully Parramatta can really shape up. I hope they can. If Latrell Mitchell is his VC, I'll be more than happy to see Dill Brown go 100 and Latrell Mitchell stay quiet. As long as he doesn't have that big score, I think that'll be a little win coming out of that one. So there are your Friday night games wrapped up. I don't have anyone in the Parramatta or the Bunnies game. We move to Saturday afternoon, the Roosters and the Cowboys. This will be a big one now. Obviously, Paul Green passed away the other day. We did a podcast on him earlier. Devastating stuff. Obviously represented the Sydney Roosters and the North Queensland Cowboys as well. So I think this is going to be a really big game for both these clubs, and hopefully for the Cowboys it'll mean a lot. He's obviously a pretty prominent figure up there at the North Queensland Cowboys, Paul Green. So hopefully Drinky and Dearden can really get up for this one. But he's also played footy at the Roosters, was part of the squad that won a comp in 2002 at the Roosters. So I've got Drinkwater, Radley, Tommy Dearden. I'll probably VC Drinkwater in that one. He's probably the most dangerous guy left in my team. So I'll VC Drinky there. On the other side of the park, though, Eamon's pretty scary in this one, too. Connor Watson, who could be anything coming off the bench, but more importantly, Joey Manu, who has just been terrorising teams this year. So if I can get a 40 out of Manu like he did last week, I'll be absolutely stoked. I'm really hoping the North Queensland Cowboys, they show up in defence and keep Manu quiet, because that'll take me a long way to winning this round if they do. The next game, we've got the West Tigers and the Sharkies. I've got Britton Okora. That is it. This is the game that scares me, though, because Eamon's one, got Lachie Miller. Two, he's got Matt Ikavalu, who we're hearing rumours he could come in for this game as well. So if Ikavalu does come in, that will spell trouble for me, because Lachie Miller and Di Cavallo going up against the West Tigers, who looked absolutely busted last week, that worries me a lot. He's also got Fanua Bowl, who's been moved back to the bench, so hopefully he can knock out a 30-odd. That'll be a huge little win for me there. I should mention as well that Eamon's actually got on his bench. He's got Jake Avarillo there as well, who could play for Canterbury against the Warriors. I'd be surprised if he doesn't come into this team somewhere. At the moment, Eamon's got Lachlan Miller at halfback. He could play Jake Avarillo, though, so it'll be interesting to see which direction he goes there. I'd say Avarillo will be his AA on the bench, and if he goes big, he will take that score. The next game is the Newcastle Knights and the Brisbane Broncos, 7:35. Big one for me with Katoni Staggs. I really need him to show up here. I don't care what he's done in the rest of the season. If he can just have a big 4 weeks for me in the finals, Katoni Staggs, it'll all be worth it. On the other side of the park, Eamon's got Bradman Best. He's the only one from Newcastle there. Canberra Raiders and the St. George Illawarra Dragons, the game after that. I've got Matty Tomoko, and at the moment I've got Emre Guler, but hopefully I don't have to play Guler, probably won't. Matty Tomoko, though, it'd be great if he could come up with an attacking stat on Sunday afternoon. That'd be huge for me. It's been solid this year, Matty Tomoko. I probably expect a little bit more out of him, to be honest with you, but it is very early in his career, so I couldn't expect a heap from him. He has done well for me, been happy, you know, 44-point average. He scored a couple of tries here and there to get me to get some decent little scores. Base is decent, 26, so I can sort of wear low scores from him. Last few weeks, he's been good, 48, 64, 67, then sort of back to reality last week at the 31, but it was against the Penrith Panthers. Hopefully the Dragons can have a big game at GIO this week, and hopefully Matty Tomoko, he can cross over for a meaty there. Now, the last game, now, from the Dragons, sorry, Eamon's got a few as well. He's got Jack DeBellin and Blake Laurie. So Blake Laurie, who I've held, who I've owned about three times throughout this year, he's finally hit form once he's in Eamon's team. Shock me. So the forwards watch will be really close there with Jack DeBellin and Blake Laurie, and they'll be up for that one against the Canberra Raiders. Now, potentially the game that could decide it all is the last game of the week, the Gold Coast Titans up against the Manly Seagulls. Eamon does not own any Gold Coast Titans. He does not own any Manly Seagulls. But for me, I've got Olakau'atu and Kohler out on that right edge. So if DCE can have a good game and really open it up on that edge, that could just blow this game open for me. The last few weeks.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Sunday 4 o'clock game has been sensational for me, or the Sunday 2 p.m. Sunday afternoons have been great for me the last few weeks. I found a heap of points there. If Scott Drinkwater does go quiet as my VC, I will be looking at Olakau'atu as my captain against the Gold Coast Titans. The back row is a little bit risky, but I will need upside. We know he's got it. Hopefully he doesn't get fucking injured, because he seems to get injured every single week, Olakau'atu. But against this Gold Coast Titans mob, he could run an absolute mark. As could Kohler out the back up against Brian Kelly. I don't mind that matchup there. That's my draft game this weekend. It started with me being 19 points behind after game one. It's all going to come down to the captains, though, for me. Latrell, he's a guy that could absolutely explode, as could Joey Manu. So it's going to be interesting to see what Eamon does here. I personally think he will go Latrell Mitchell in Joey Manu as his vice captain and captain. If both of them can go under 80, even if both of them go under 100, I'll tell you what, I'd be absolutely stoked, because I think that one of Drinkwater or Olakau'atu can get up around those scores. So it's going to be really tight. I'm going to need attacking stats to fall my way. They haven't fallen my way on night one. They obviously went to Justin Olam and Isaac Tungo essentially got none of them. So fingers crossed it can start to turn as the weekend goes. Anything can happen in Supercoach Draft Finals, as I know and as you guys know. So fingers crossed we can get a W here, put the feet up next week, and then we can start to prepare for a real charge into the grand final.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.